We welcome to Star 94.1, our guest, Joe Ligon of the Mighty Clouds of Joy. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing good.
Good, good. Let's talk about the new project. I know we've got a lot to talk about because, Joe, you've been around a long time and still making that great music. What's so different about this new project?
Well, we're saying songs, some type of songs that we don't usually sing. The producer, who was Sanchez Holly, wanted to kind of create a little different CD than the last one we did. And there's one song that really identifies the clouds real, real good, and that's the one called Moving. But the other songs are quite different. And we didn't think that the CD would get the attention that the last one got, but I think that this one is really going to be bigger. There are, I think, more praise songs in this one, and right now in gospel music, the praise and worship is really big, and the producer wanted the clouds to just kind of do something different, and we went along with him. And I'm telling you, I've been doing interviews all over America, and the album it's going to be much bigger than the last album. But the producer was trying to take us to a new level of recording, and that's what it is.
How, Joe, you've been around a long time. How do you keep it together, and how does one stay in the industry so long and be so successful?
Well, you got to work at it. Number one, number one, you got to put God first. You got to do that. You got to do a lot of praying, and then you got to have men with you and around you that want the same thing that you want, and that are dedicated like I am. I'm really dedicated to my music. I've sang. There were days when I didn't feel like going. I went anyway. There were days when I got there, I didn't feel like singing. I sang anyway. So I've just been a dedicated person down through the years. And we've always been that group, like this last CD, we've always been that group that would take a chance on different things. Like, we were one of the first groups. We were the first quartet to do contemporary gospel. And we got criticized when we did songs like Time and Ride the Mighty High and stuff like that and went on Soul Train. A lot of people got real upset. My father even got upset. He was living at that time, and he didn't understand us singing on Soul Train. And now it's a big thing for a gospel group to go on Soul Train. But we were the first group to go there. And what we do is we just keep going. And the new CD that just come out, we're already talking to each other now within the group about our next project. So that just keeps us in the forefront of things. That keeps us focused. And I think that has been one of the things that has kept us and have created longevity for us.
You mentioned Ride the Mighty High. When you did that song, did you think Ride the Mighty High would place the clouds where it placed them?
I really didn't know. It was different from any song that we ever sang. But I said, well, we've always been that group that would take a chance. And I saw the trend of gospel music changing way before it came in. And the producer said, well, Joe, you want to play a record that they will only play it at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning on a station where the gospel is not about 5 or 10 minutes. You want to try to play a record, make a record that if they want to play it on whatever show, be it R&B, gospel, jazz, or whatever, they can play it. And can't say, well, this song don't fit our format. So we went on and we took that chance. And Ride the Mighty High opened many doors we were able to travel to Europe with B.B. King and Ray Charles, and we were able to go in places like Carnegie Hall, Radio City Music Hall, went in there with the late Marvin Gaye for a week, standing room only, people five blocks down the street trying to get in. We went in the Apollo Theater. So I really can't say that I knew that it would open the doors that it did. We also got criticized for that record. But things started to happen, and I never will forget this. One year we were in Detroit, I think it was at Cobo Hall, jam-packed, and I was afraid to sing the song. And James Cleveland, the late James Cleveland, was the headliner, and he knew that that record was number one or two in the city on the gospel station, and the R&B station was playing it. And he said, "Well, Joe, if you want to sing it, I'm going to sing it." And, man, he hit it, and the people went crazy. So it was one of those things that we took a chance on that worked and just did a trailblazing thing, and we glad now that we did it.
We're talking to a true pioneer, a true trailblazer, Joe Lagon of the Clouds. Joe, where is gospel music headed?
Well, I tell you what, it's going to keep growing because different artists keep coming out and doing better and better. I remember when Smokin' Norfolk came out and just hit one, three or four groups a day. Now, I'll tell you what I see happening now. I'll tell you what I see not happening like it used to happen. A lot of the younger folks, that's why we're going to watch our next project real, real close. A lot of the younger people are not into quartet music like they used to be. And that bothers me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because the quartets were the first gospel singers to travel this country. The choirs did not travel. It was too many of them. They couldn't travel. And to tell the truth, the average choir get more airplay than a quartet. We do pretty good because we've been around so long, and people know we were trailblazers in this gospel business. But I always believe that gospel music will be around. I don't think it'll ever die, and the quartets are not going to go away. They're going to be around. I'm on a big show here, Mother's Day. I'm in Chicago right now. And it'll be 5,000 or 6,000 people there. And I just see gospel, actually, I see it getting better. And what a group has to do, a group like the Mighty Clouds of Joy, when we see the praise and worship taking over, we got to make that kind of CD. When we see, we got to watch people like Yolanda Adams and Kirk Franklin, and actually a lot of people, I think a little more of them than they do a. Well, it's kind of like a 70-30. 70% of the young folk will flock to see a Kirk Franklin concert before they will a Mighty Clouds. But it wasn't always like that. I mean, I tell my group now, the ones that wasn't with us for 46 years, I said, you know, there's three of us still active. Actually, two of us and the other guys are new, but they grew up on our music and they know it. I see gospel being around, and we're going to watch the music. And where everybody's going and what everybody else is doing, we're going to still do our style, but we're going to still do some of that style, too, so we can stay in the forefront of gospel music.